And the recording has begun again also at 9:28. Thank you, Dr. King.
Thank you. The first item on our agenda is complaint 2234, Robert Maggio, PT. Mr. Maggio, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then are you represented as well?
I am.
Okay. Is your counsel with you?
Good morning. So my name is Lynette. We are representing Robert Maggio and Catherine Kessler, Diana Lamont. Can I have just 1 quick minute to grab Kimberly Kent? She's the lead attorney and she's in a mediation. I believe she, so if I could just have a quick minute to go grab her, we're kind of playing this, jumping around, if that's okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Sure.
And Dr. King, good morning, members of the board. If it's okay with you, the case summary for these, for 9A, 9B, and 9C, so 2334 Maggio, 2234 Maggio, 2235 Kessler, and 2233 Lamont, all stem from the same case. So if it's okay with the board members for me to just do one summary, as a background, and then you can go into each individual case that's, you know, is evaluated on its own merits.
You're muted.
Board, are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, great. And we have all of your investigative report, so if we need to refer back to something, or you're right here so we can ask you.
Yeah. I'll wait for Ms. Kent before I do the summary.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Kim Kent should be popping on in a few seconds.
Thank you.
Ms. Kent is joining the meeting right now.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Kent.
How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Thank you for letting me pop in. I am in the middle of this other mediation. It's sort of one of those things where we had to be two places at once. So I thank you for accommodating.
What we've agreed to, just to let you know, because the three cases have the same case information for the most part and complaint, Mindy's only going to provide the summary once. And then the board will discuss and deliberate each case separately.
Wonderful.
Okay, great. So at this time, we'll have Mindy, our board investigator, give us an overview of the complaint.
Dr. Thank you. Before she starts, can you confirm that all three clients are on?
I know Mr. Maggio is. Catherine Kessler, are you on?
Yes.
She's great. Sitting next to Mr. Maggio.
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Okay, and then Diane Lamont.
She should be there.
I believe she's attempting.
She's also present.
There she is.
There she is. Okay, good. Thank you, Dr. King.
Yes, thank you. All right. Mindy, please proceed.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Cases 9A, B, and C were opened after the board reviewed and adjudicated another case, 2220 John Barnes. In that case, a patient, MK, alleged that she was not fully informed of the risks of myofascial release and that the treatment she received caused her harm. But based on the medical record review, it was determined subsequently that each of the three physical therapists had provided treatment to this patient over those four visits. The respondents are represented by Ms. Kemp, and she requested a specific order that the board complete their initial review. In each case, Ms. Kent and her clients received a copy of the investigative report, and they supplied a supplemental written response for each of the case and was included as part of your review materials. The written response provided by Ms. Kent representing her client states that the patient received 4 treatment sessions. 3 were, quote, unquote, introductory, and the last visit was, quote, what they described as a standard treatment, but at a reduced rate because the patient had not yet committed to the intensive program. The statement further goes on to describe that at the beginning of each session, the patient is evaluated and treatment is guided by the patient's subjective complaints and objective findings. All of the notes were signed by the regulatory credential of PT, and the written description of the clinic provided to the patient prior to the treatment is described as, quote, a private pay physical therapy facility. An issue for the board to consider in these 4 visits is if the patient MK received physical therapy services as defined by ARS 32-2001.13, definition of the practice of physical therapy. If so, is there an expectation that the clinical documentation that you reviewed conforms to the regulatory requirements? Each of the respondents was cited for potential violation 32-2044-4 in substandard care related to informed consent and 32-2044-20, failure to maintain adequate records as related to R4-24304. As well, when the supplemental written response was received from each of the respondents, they also included some continuing education that they've completed subsequent to receiving the complaint, and those were available for your review as well. That's the end of my briefing.
Thanks, Cindy. Is patient MK on? I'm just curious.
I don't believe she was.
Okay. Okay. I always like to make sure to see if the patient's on as well. Okay. Mr. Maggio, would you like to or have Ms. Kent make an opening statement or address the board before we proceed?
I think Ms. Kent's going to make our opening statement for us.
Thank you, Dr. King. My statement really applies to all 3, although for the record, perhaps we can just make this applicable to all 3. I think it's very clear that this clinic in Sedona, Arizona is unique, and they operate in a manner that really honors what they believe in, which is myofascial release. And I'm not going to pretend to explain the uniqueness of this, but I'll let them explain that. They'll all 3 be open for questions. But we have made the point that all clients are provided a very in-depth, informed consent about the introductory session. And it is our position that a comprehensive physical therapy evaluation would not begin, meaning a comprehensive physical therapy treatment would not begin unless and until the patient engages in the intensive program. They are, though, given attention to their chief complaints so that can guide the introductory session. And the introductory session is really intended to make sure that the patient understands what myofascial release is, what that technique is about, and how much it costs, and what kind of commitment is expected from them so that they can make an informed decision about whether or not to begin the program. And so I think the record supports that was completed in each of the 4 visits that the patient attended. I don't think the record supports a lack of informed consent. I think, in fact, the record supports the opposite. The patient had an exceptional discussion in both email and in the medical record that shows she understood the risk, benefits, and alternatives. And she seemed to benefit and enjoy what limited techniques were given in those introductory sessions. Later on, she complained. Her complaints were difficult for me to really understand. They're a little bit fragmented, and they're contrary to her emails, which say she really enjoyed myofascial release, wanted to learn about how to do it herself, and continued to participate. But she went back to Salt Lake City, where she lived, and I think she's continued to thrive, and she's continued to receive care there from other alternative means. So going back to Mr. Maggio, Kathy Kessler, and Diana, I've had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with them, as you can imagine. They're all three highly competent, highly trained, and very conscientious about their patient care. And so they're devoted to their practice. But they saw this, despite the fact that the evidence didn't support the complaint, they saw this as an opportunity to improve. So each of them individually agreed to take a class directed towards documentation because they felt that at minimum, this review process showed how they could improve their documentation. So they've all completed the course. They're all, you'll see this when you talk to them, they're all extremely conscientious and extremely caring and very competent in their individual practices. Each of them does traditional physical therapy, but I think each of them also has a commitment and an honor towards myofascial release. So my recommendation is that the board dismiss all three complaints and find that the complaint is not satisfied by the evidence here. I think that's an appropriate disposition in this scenario.
Thank you, Ms. Kent. Board members, do you have any questions at all? Would you like to start asking some questions of Mr. Maggio? Mr. Maggio, I do have a question for you, a couple questions, please.
Okay.
At any time, did you provide physical therapy services to patient MK?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And you treated her one time?
That's correct.
Okay, and you provided therapy. So help me understand how the introductory visit, what's got some documentation and you're signed as a physical therapist, is different than an evaluation.
Well, the introductory session is twofold. The first part is actually to take a look at the patient's complaint, assess their postural deviations, their myofascial restrictions that might be related to the complaint that they actually are coming to the clinic for, and then try to develop a plan to treat them. The person's here for a one-time visit, and so then the second part of it is the introductory session is to actually apply some MFR techniques to them to see the effectiveness of it for what it is that they originally are coming to see you for or for the original complaint. So then the patient can decide if this is a path that they want to continue. Most of the people that come to us that have chronic issues have already tried many other types of treatments and modalities, and they've gone to physical therapy, but they maybe have not experienced this form of manual therapy. So mm-hmm. It's educational, and so part of it's therapeutic intervention.
Right. I'm curious, though, as I'm looking through your notes, you know, one of our requirements in our practice act is that a thorough evaluation is completed before an intervention is initiated, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at your note, and I'm not seeing a full evaluation. So help me understand how you came about providing a treatment for this patient prior to actually doing a thorough evaluation.
Well, we focused on the postural deviations that the patient was presenting with and also the restrictions that were going on that we found after doing soft tissue mobilization and not mobilization, soft tissue palpation. We also looked at range of motion measurements grossly for the spine as well as the extremities. The things that stood out is what we documented. So in the case when I treated MK, she had a pelvic imbalance with a right anterior rotation of the pelvis with an upslip on the right side of the trunk. She also had restrictions with her trunk rotations, and she was also displaying shortness of breath and decreased ribcage motion with breath. Also took a look at her dural tube and found that she had tightness within there. So what I did was I documented what the deviations were, and that's how I applied the techniques to address those, because that's what she specifically came in for.
Okay. And then in your documentation, I don't see any goals. Goals or your goals or an actual plan of care?
Well, she actually had written down that her goal was to actually help her walk better. And she wanted some help with chronic pain. And again, she was not planning on coming back for a second treatment. I was unaware that she was in a follow-up. When we asked her, she was unsure. She was kind of coming through, living in Sedona for a little bit and looking to relocate. So she wanted to try this out to see if this might be something that would benefit her. And when she relocated to Park City, she did continue therapy, I think for like quite a long time with another practitioner, practice out there that specialized in myofascial release. So she found the benefit from it. And I believe in my note, I said that we were able to balance her pelvis again, elongate the dura, and she was breathing more with, better with ease. So it really truly was an evaluation and a treatment all within one.
When I compare your note to the actual evaluation done three sessions later on her fourth session by Ms. Lamont, there's a significant difference in the amount of information in the evaluation and in what you are saying is an evaluation before treating. So how has your practice changed? Are you still doing introductory sessions? What does it look like now?
We do offer introductory sessions, but I would have to say that since this a complaint originally came in, we took it as an opportunity to take a look and see what's going on with our documentation. I could have done much better with my documentation with her. You know, I really can't say much more except for what was there. But what we've done is we've taken a look at our documentation, taken some classes, and are starting to implement changes. So we do have more of a formal evaluation form now that we're actually using in case someone was actually going to think about coming back, so we can actually implement some goals for them. But when these patients come to us, we're working with a working diagnosis of what they've given us. And so that's how we kind of practice the approach with them and the treatment. So we have changed the documentation for our intro evaluations. And for if they decide to continue, then we have opportunity to set more goals for them and to develop more of a robust treatment plan.
And I hear what you're saying, but I think that's what every physical therapist does. We operate on what the patient's saying to us, you know, and what they're feeling and their past and their experience and how it's impacting their life. So that's not unusual. When you look at how you're documenting now and you look at Rule 424.304 on the requirements of an adequate patient record for an evaluation, how would you compare what you're doing now to what the actual requirements are for an evaluation?
Well, I think that I met those. However, again, if this patient was saying to me that she wanted to actually come in for a series of treatments, I definitely would have taken more, I would have documented more of her limitations and developed more of a goals for a treatment plan. But I was unsure if this person, when I asked her about if she was looking at returning, if she wanted to go that way, that information was not shared with me. So I looked at it as a one visit opportunity to assess her, for her to see what the difference was, the effectiveness of this treatment plan, and for her to decide if she wanted to continue.
Yeah, I'm looking at your note and I'm really not seeing a lot of objective information, measurements.
When they come to us,
specific anatomical landmarks that you're finding these things. There's discussion about an antalgic gait and a long on one side and a short on the other. What's the measurement? Like how would you know if this has gotten better?
Well, in my note, what I wrote down was that she had an anterior rotation of the pelvis with an upslip, that she had decreased bilateral trunk rotation. The left side was greater than the right side.
That's by how much? that's my question is like, okay, less, but objectively measuring that.
Right.
You don't know if it's better.
Right. And that is one of the things that, again, when this complaint came through, we definitely had to take a look at seeing that we were documenting more values like we would with someone who was coming to us who said, I want to come to you for 8 visits. So someone who was coming to us for 8 visits, we pull out a different evaluation form, a different documentation device that we can record everything. And so now we're including that with every single person that comes in.
Thank you.
And we do take goniometric measurements with our patients. But again, with this person, she came in and this is all that she wanted. So this is how we assessed her, or this is how I assessed her during that treatment.
Thank you. Any other questions, Dr. Bustillo or Giovanni?
I don't have any additional questions. Thanks for everything.
The other question that I might have in terms of looking at the note from 2/27/2021 corresponds to some of the same things that Dr. King was talking about. I don't see, unless I miss it, information about a motor vehicle accident, when it occurred, how long she's had Addison's. She's been taking chronic steroids for years. That absolutely impacts all the musculoskeletal system. And it's a contraindication for chronic steroid use to do manual therapy in that patient. So while I don't know all the specifics of MFR, I know in terms of the continuing education committee that MFR techniques are commonly sent out to physical therapists across Arizona and have for years, and it's physical therapy. So that is a physical therapy treatment. And when I look at the notes here, I don't see very much detail at all. And I'm questioning, and so my specific question is, when is it that you decide to put on your physical therapy cap, and when is it that you decide to take your physical therapy cap off? Because what I see here is not a physical therapy evaluation. Can you answer that for me of how that occurs? Because I'd like to know about the introductory visits and how you suddenly convert over into, as a director of rehab, of deciding I'm going to work in physical therapy. So if you can connect that for me, that'd be great.
Sure. I have my physical therapy hat on all the time. It seems like it never really comes off. Well, what we do is we specialize in this form of body work. I've been a physical therapist for over 33 years. So the education that I've had before this is something that is always coming in. The pressures that we use with myofascial release are no more than activities of daily living, coughing, sneezing, walking. It's a very gentle but holistic, specialized approach of working with the body. So even though that manual therapy sometimes can be, a lot rougher than what it is that we're actually applying to the patients. Patients are always in control. If they feel our pressures are ever too much, they can always just tell us to ease up or halt. I am looking at range of motion measurements. Range of motion grossly with an intro. And with someone who is coming in for an extended period of time, we would be taking goniometric measurements. Our mobilizations, we're using more of the bony landmarks to assess alignment. And so we end up using the soft tissue techniques to bring those bony landmarks back into alignment. We assess, if the patient is coming in and shows, like I said, this person looked like that she was having some restriction with her breath. And so that's where I ended up applying some techniques, and she was able to have a lot more ease. She had tightness within her spine. And then as I went from looking at her trunk rotation, I realized that her dura covering the brain and the spinal column was very, very tight. So we applied some techniques to open them up. introductory sessions really kind of refer to the types of techniques that we use. We limit it to cross hands, transverse planes, and extremity pulls to work within the body. If someone was coming to us for an extended period of time and they were doing more of a comprehensive type of treatment, then we would open ourselves up to other techniques with them. But this patient did not want any type of education and then self-treatment. She is a yogi, and so she felt that she had that handled. She just wanted some relief from some chronic pain that she was having and some inability, which she really didn't display that I saw, inability to walk, because that seemed to be very intermittent.
I've treated a lot of individuals that have decided to have an evaluation only. We still would take objective measurements, and I wouldn't treat that patient or evaluate that patient any differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we've changed pretty much our evaluation process for someone who comes in initially for a treatment. I've realized that, you know, that that was lacking, and so that's why we've made the change.
Okay.
Dr. Bustillo, do you have any questions?
I don't have any additional questions at this time. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Barton?
I don't have any additional questions at this time either.
Thank you.
I think we know what we need to know.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Mr. Maggio? If not, we'll go into deliberation. Okay, hearing none, then at this time, Mr. Maggio and Ms. Kemp, the board will discuss the investigative report and any additional information we've received now from Mr. Maggio in order to determine any actions. I'll start the conversation in that in reviewing all of the documentation for the cases, I am and the investigative report, I don't see any substantiation for informed consent. I think that they do a thorough job of letting patients know that at any time they can stop, they can redirect things and things like that. So I think that the allegations for 32, 2044 as it relates to informed consent for me are not substantiated. However, and maybe even a bigger concern, is that the patient received physical therapy services with a very scant evaluation. I mean, I would go so far as to say a screen more than an evaluation. There's a significant lack of documentation. And as you pointed out, Dr. Hayek, I mean, she's got a pretty hefty past medical history that's not even taken into consideration or documented that it is and the impact of that. And the documentation doesn't come near meeting the requirement for an evaluation in our rules, in that a PT who isn't Mr. Maggio can come in and actually take over care. There's no goals, there's no plan of care. And so I think for me, unfortunately, it's a pretty significant lack of justifying treatment, no education, no recommendations. We have a lot of patients who don't want education, but we have to document that we've at least offered it and provided it. And I'm not seeing any of that in this one page, two page note. I appreciate that they took a documentation course. It's like a total of 3.5 hours. The patients are paying out of pocket for this care. And it's truly not representative of our practice. So that's my thoughts.
I tend to be in agreement with you. It's missing all of the aspects of documentation. I also don't see merit to the issue of patient consent at that point, but I definitely think that there needs to be a lot more focus on the documentation. And, you know, as you guys were talking, I mean, no objective measurements were taken. No goals are in there. No plan of care has been set. Treatment's been rendered without any of that. So, I'm personally, you know, I can appreciate that they have gone, on their own and taken some continuing education courses. I'd like to see a little bit more with focus on initial evaluations, because that's really what we're talking about here is initial evaluation not being completed. So if I was going to go any route with this, I'm willing to accept some of the Con Ed that they have taken, but I would also recommend that they, you know, take something that's more specific to the initial evaluation.
Let me ask you this, Giovanni, then. Would you be, are you thinking maybe potentially moving it to an informal hearing with the addition of new patient records showing their evaluation process prior to actually treating a patient, or do you feel like you have enough information now to move forward?
I feel like I have enough information to move forward and just go ahead and make that what's the term where we send them a letter?
An advisory letter?
Yeah, sending an advisory letter along with continuing education. I think that is that not something you can do?
Madam Chair.
No, but go ahead, Ms. Harris, Mr. Harris.
At this point, you have several options. Mm-hmm. One is to, dismiss it. Another is to issue an advisory letter. Another is to issue a non-disciplinary order for continuing education.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you believe that it rises to discipline, to offer a consent agreement for continuing education, or as Chairperson King just, indicated, another option is to move it forward to an informal, but it seems, Mr. Leone, maybe you feel like you have enough information to take dispositive action today.
Yeah, and I would say a non-disciplinary order for continuing education. That was more what I was thinking
about. Okay, and if that's it, I'm sorry, Dr. King.
Oh, no, I was just going to discuss a little more with you, Ronnie, but you go ahead, Mr. Harris.
I was just going to suggest at the appropriate time, just a reminder to take them individually, all three.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So Giovanni, I'm with you. I'm back and forth, right? I'm thinking non-disciplinary extra CEUs, but I could also see disciplinary CEUs and retaking the jurisprudence exam because I'm not sure that he's grasping the practice of physical therapy where he's at right now. Totally. So I'm just going to put that out there for discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand wanting to go that route with it, you know, because this is not a recurring issue that is happening with them. I'm not necessarily in that same boat of wanting to go that route with it. I think if this was a second occurrence or even more, I would probably be more willing to go that route with it.
And are you meaning like complaint? Because I think this is their practice. This is the way they've practiced. They are practicing at this in their institute is that they have introductory sessions, and then they move into actual physical therapy practice.
Yeah, and I think with the continuing education, you know, mm-hmm. and making those changes to their practice, I would be happy with that.
Okay.
You know, if they were to come back to the board again, you know, with another complaint and we found that the practice was still operating that way, I think I would be a little bit more willing to go with the disciplinary action. Probably more so than taking the jurisprudence exam.
And Mindy, you only looked at the MK's records, correct?
That's correct.
The others. Okay.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Bustillo, your thoughts?
Yes. So actually I'm in favor of a non-disciplinary order for continuing education. I feel like the Mr. Maggio has had the opportunity to reflect on his practice and make some changes. I do feel like Giovanni does, however, that there should be some additional coursework done in the area of documentation.
Yeah.
And so I would absolutely be in favor of adding hours to that.
Okay. Dr. Haik?
The lack of information in this note is upsetting to me.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, the motor vehicle accident. Mm-hmm. The motor vehicle accident in an individual over the age of 50, the long-term history of Addison's,
mm-hmm.
could result in someone having a serious upper cervical problem.
Sure.
And a lack of range of motion measurement,
mm-hmm.
what we see in terms of looking at the Canadian cervical spine rules, specifically to identify the need for imaging. There's no range of motion measurements. There's nothing specific about the motor vehicle accident, when it occurred, and how much of a limitation in range of motion this patient might have had. They have pain all over. There's no reflexes tested. There's no things looking at cervical myelopathy whatsoever. That's alarming to me. This patient could have been a patient that wound up being an incomplete spinal cord after a treatment. So in terms of thinking of this patient specifically and the lack of notes on this specific case, I think that lends itself more towards disciplinary, and or if we go the non-disciplinary route, there needs to be serious continuing education looking at cervical, looking at upper extremity, looking at lower extremity, and spine. And so I would be very much in favor, if that was the route we were going to go, that it would be significant.
Okay. Can you define significant? Are you thinking like a number of hours per body part, or is there a particular?
Well, reasonable. So, you know, perhaps six months to be able to do, I don't know.
Okay.
What would be reasonable? 20, 30 hours? I mean, this is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
If one of my students wrote that note and call that physical therapy, which he is,
mm-hmm.
They would be before the board, right?
No, I'm with you. If any of my clinicians in my hospital wrote a note like that, it would not fly any day of the week.
This is not an evaluation.
No.
There's no evaluation here. Mm-hmm. And there's significant things in this case that could have caused this patient to be an incomplete spinal cord or even worse.
Thank you for your thoughts on that. Giovanni or Dr. Bustillo, any other thoughts or Mr. Barton?
So, you know, I'm a little torn here. I realize, at least I think I see what they're trying to do here, which is, you know, kind of taking Newton segment on physical therapy and doing physical therapy. You know, I think, in the theoretical perspective, that's commendable, and you know, I don't know that there's anything inherently wrong with that, but I share, you know, the concerns that have been voiced by the other members of the board, and the big concern is that this is just, you know, the assessment just appears to be really lacking, and I know the other board members have discussed that, and you know, Dr. Hikes' discussion about the risks of that are really severe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, given those two kind of perspectives, I'm inclined to move towards non-disciplinary action, but maybe go a little bit further on the continuing education, maybe look at some continuing education on documentation and cervical, just to ensure that these kind of manipulations aren't occurring in these types of patients with the risk factors that we're dealing with here. You know, being a public member, I'm obviously not as knowledgeable about those issues, and so I'm a little inclined to just defer to Dr. Hikes to check on what kind of DEUs would be necessary. But I do share that concern. But I also think, you know, that what these guys are trying to do is, you know, not a bad idea if it comes with enough of an assessment and a plan, as required under the Act, to, you know, ensure the safety of these patients. So that's where I'd be. I'd be in favor of some kind of a non-disciplinary with continuing education, but maybe with additional continuing education for cervical and manipulation to ensure that proper care.
Here's my question. We won't know that their documentation has changed, right? We send them to CEUs and all of these things, but theoretically speaking, unless there's another complaint, we will never see another note. And so that's where my discomfort is. And like, I don't know, maybe Mr. Harris, you can help me in how would we know? Because our it sounds like our problem is the lack of requirements that are required in patient documentation, right? Patient chart management is totally missing from these notes. And so CEUs all day long, but if it doesn't change how they do what they're doing, then it was honestly just for nothing. And so, Mr. Harris, what are our options as far as seeing proof that they've actually changed your evaluation and documentation process?
Madam Chair, members of the board, well, they've indicated that they have. So if you like, one option is for you just to continue that and ask them to submit to board staff or have, you know, our investigator randomly select charts that would indicate whether or not, in fact, they've implemented the changes they've stated to you this morning.
Thank you.
Can I make one comment, please, that might help this? I think that part of what my three members are appreciating is your understanding and presentation this morning of what you would like to see. And I don't think it's fair to conclude that those changes have occurred yet. If you're going to go that route, then let them institute changes based on the feedback that they've got back from the board first, and then come in. And if that's what you want to do. Because I think there's a fundamental disagreement, at least, or I want to call it a disagreement, but I don't know it's a disagreement, but I think there's a fundamental miscommunication about what the standard of care allows when a patient comes in for an introductory session and whether or not that's allowed by state law. And I frankly have to, based on the board's comments, I'm going to have to, if any discipline is issued, then I would want to provide more briefing on that issue because it's really a fundamental issue. But perhaps to avoid all of that, the most appropriate action is to let the three members really absorb the feedback that the board members have given and sit down and see how they can modify all aspects of this and then have the board reevaluate. So if you're going to go that direction, Dr. King, that's what I would recommend. I don't think until today there was necessarily some insight into how the board would view this. And I don't think that these three therapists would want to do anything that they felt was outside the regulatory practice. So I think they're open and willing to hear and make some changes. I don't think it's accurate to say that those changes have been made yet because they've just heard your position on this. And I don't think it was clear.
Actually, Ms. Kent, it was Mr. Maggio who said they have already made changes.
No, they have made
changes. I'm going on his comment. that no. they've made changes, and I just am not comfortable not seeing that. And so I think, thank you for your comments.
I think they have made changes. I'm just not sure that they've made changes that have been voiced here.
Can I make a suggestion, Dr. King, since it sounds like I may be the one reviewing additional records? There is a potential that you could move this to an informal hearing and request from me additional investigation related to documentation for each of the, if you decide in Mr. Maggio's case at a minimum, would allow me time, just to simply do a non-disciplinary order for continuing education and have them submit to me records outside of a more formal process. No. We haven't done that in the past.
Mm-mm.
You do have the option of just moving it to an informal hearing and requesting for me additional investigation related to the documentation that was discussed today.
Have we,
otherwise you've gone disciplinary and you've ordered external monitoring.
Yes, right. No, my question was, have we ever moved to continue and request additional information during that continuance? As opposed to moving to an informal hearing.
I believe you've moved to informal hearing because that requires additional investigation. I don't know, Mr. Harris.
Can you guide us?
Yeah, I would think that you have continued cases to obtain additional information.
Okay.
Generally, when you refer something to an informal, you've already completed kind of the documentation aspect, and that you're moving it forward because you think there's the potential, if true, that disciplinary action may be warranted. I think it just really comes down to whether the consensus of the board is that you need to see something before taking dispositive action, whatever that action is.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mr. Harris. My comfort level is to continue it, request additional information, see how the documentation has changed and aligns with our state practice act rules and requirements, and then go from there. So I'll make a motion and then we can discuss. I move that we continue this case and request additional documentation information showing a change in the documentation process for patients for evaluations as well as treatments.
I will second that. I actually changed my opinion after listening to Ms. Kent's talk based upon her comment that, well, we should see if they've changed. And I'm like, oh, what a good point. We should see if they've changed.
Yeah.
And so I'm way less comfortable than I was a few minutes ago about what was happening. And so I am more than happy to second your motion.
Thanks, Dr. Bustillo. Dr. Hike, are you comfortable with that motion? Do you have a discussion?
I think when I look at the notes too and start on the pathway of thinking of this patient having the possibility of cervical myelopathy, there's actually some evidence for that. If I move into the 315 note, decreased bilateral neck rotation, decreased bilateral upper extremity movement, so in terms of that occurring in quadriparesis, all four extremities in weakness, there's no measurement of strength. They did manual therapy. Mm-hmm. They did traction to the C-spine, all things that if this patient had an MVA and had some significant upper cervical problem, that could cause this patient to be an incomplete spinal cord. This is the seriousness of this note. In this lack of documentation, so I just want to reinforce that you think about it from that perspective, in terms of how serious this could have been.
Yeah. So my thought is that if we continue and see documentation, we'll still have every option at our disposal when they come back to the board with more information. We can still, everything will be at our disposal, correct? Yeah, Mr. Harris is nodding. And so you could still go disciplinary. If that's something that we feel as a board is the most appropriate response to this complaint and to what we're seeing. I just don't feel like I have enough information quite yet because I really do want to see what they're now doing compared to what they're doing with this complaint.
In terms of your motion and the timeline, what would you say is when we would start reviewing?
after they got the complaint or now?
I know I'm not supposed to interrupt. I did that eval, and I believe MK is here. And I just have to say, it was one of the most complex people walking in. And some of that information is in the side note because it was received on the side. And she did not disclose that in her medical request. I have the note in front of me. Nowhere.
I just need to stop because we're not on your case yet. And I appreciate that. And we will get to you.
I just want you to know, I believe she's here though too.
Okay.
If you have questions for her, please ask.
We will. We will. Thank you. Thank you. So we have a motion and a second to continue this case 2234. And I think we need to know how many records we want to see. Do we want them randomly selected? What are your thoughts?
The other thing that I think we ought to discuss too is, and I'm not sure, given kind of the discussion that we've had, it sounds like we may want to look at records going from today as opposed to records from the past, because it sounds like there may be some changes being implemented.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the case, I think that we probably need to be specific about that because, I'll be honest with you. I'm inclined to just resolve it today, but I recognize some of the concerns that my fellow board members have. And if it does sound to me like Mr. Maggio is interested in kind of resolving this and bringing this into what we feel is compliance, if that's the case, then we got to give him a fair shot at doing that. So that's kind of my thought process there.
Yeah. I would say, I'll just throw a number. Should we ask Mindy to review 5 charts, 3 initial evals and 2 treatment notes?
That seems reasonable.
Okay.
I would you want me to look at a case over time? Is that what you're saying? So if Mr. Maggio supplies to me a patient record where he's done the initial evaluation and subsequent visits, mm-hmm. as one record, and I look at 3 of those,
mm-hmm.
3 initial evals that have follow-up visits, so yes. that you can see what his plan of care is and how he's following through on his plan of care.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be something the board would believe would answer the questions that they have, starting from whatever new patient he's got going forward? So I'm going to need to wait to request those records.
I'd rather see a full case than
mm-hmm.
just random evals or random.
It's hard when I do a review to look at one visit. I'm really looking at the trajectory of that patient and if things are fitting over time in terms of progress, response to treatment, meeting the goals. And I think that's really what you're saying is what you need to have Mr. Maggio change in his clinical practice.
Yes. However, I have one caveat to that, in that let's say the patient comes in and only wants the one introductory session, right? Is that still a full eval or are we going to get a note like this? And that's what I want to know. I mean, he did allude that there are patients that come in that don't want to continue. They just want the introductory.
Well, then you would be, frankly, you would be looking for what I heard from the discussion is you would be looking for a comprehensive initial evaluation, recommendations to the patient.
Yes.
If the patient declines, then that's document. They're educated about the risks and benefits of ongoing treatment. The patient mm-hmm. declines or further. I mean, that's what I would think what I would see in the record.
Me too. That's what I would hope to see. Oh, so, okay. I'm comfortable with that, Mindy. So 3 patient records that include an evaluation and continued care.
And whether or not they're introductory, it sounds like you want to see those patients that are coming in under this introductory program, and you expect to see the same thing in the introductory program as you do in the intensive program. There's no difference.
No difference. Okay.
Well, I guess one question I have is, does every patient get the introductory visit and then move on? Is that not – okay, I can see Ms. Kessler shaking her head no.
Yeah.
It's a self-pay program, and then I believe when they move into the intensive program, Mr. Maggio can correct me, because I didn't see it, but I would assume that they're billed as traditional physical therapy, perhaps under CPT codes.
I did see CPT codes circled at least on
yes, that's correct.
Lamont's note.
Rob,
yes, that was correct.
Robert, can you answer that question for the board, please?
Yes, that is correct. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Okay, great.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Judy, do you want to restate the motion and
second? Yes, I'm going to ask you to clarify what the motion is, please. Mm-hmm.
So the motion is to continue this case mm-hmm. with the request of Mindy to review an additional 3-patient chart that include an evaluation, whether that's the patient's bought into the intensive or if it's an introductory session that moves into intensive or what, but the patient's first visits and any subsequent visits for 3 different cases from by Dr. Maggio or Mr. Maggio. And evaluations that did not occur prior to today.
Okay, I think I've got it. Please correct me if I'm wrong. It has been moved and seconded to continue this matter and request additional investigation that will include a minimum of 3 patient charts, including an initial evaluation and any subsequent treatment for patients initiating visits on or before today's date, 6/27/2023. Is that accurate? Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Maggio, the board staff will be in touch with you. We'll move now to 2235, Catherine Kessler. We've already heard a summary from Mindy as well as from Ms. Kent. And patient MK, are you on the call now?
Sure.
Okay.
With the initials MK on the meeting, but I'm guessing she just doesn't want to talk.
That is fine.
You can't force anybody to talk.
You're not obligated to talk. No. Ms. Kessler, are you comfortable answering questions from the board?
I am.
Thank you. Okay. So again, for you, did you provide physical therapy treatment to patient MK?
I did. I did her initial evaluation and her second treatment.
Okay.
And MK just responded. I don't know if you saw that pop up.
Yes, I did.
That's a different
case. That's a different case.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, different case. I do want to just make a comment, if I may, Ms. Kessler. You had made a statement that patient MK was one of the most complex evaluations you had done, which makes me significantly more concerned that you didn't treat her right away. Do you know what I mean? So, well, you were there first, 227, and then you saw her again, 36.
I did, and she was completely different the second time she walked in our clinic. I saw her walk in the day Rob Maggio saw her, and she presented completely different. I was very cautious in my eval because she was a very unique patient to treat in our clinic. She was not necessarily the norm, and that's why I made side notes in my note.
Did you submit those side notes? I'm not seeing side notes.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw my sheet, I made the notes off to the side. Not like, I don't want to disclose her name, but I put kind of up here off to the side. I just kind of put that little extra because I kept learning more information as the hour proceeded. You know, what she gave me for the initial eval is very different than what I learned when I continued to talk to her and interview her. I knew when she walked in, I can still picture her walking down the steps because we have stairs in our clinic. And she came down the steps. It was very antalgic. And I started asking questions when I got her in the room. And I was assessing things while I was asking her questions. So being a manual therapist, I'm not writing the whole time like I did back in the day. I'm touching, I'm feeling, I'm noting things. And my note could be more thorough. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I do think I provided her excellent care and compassion to her situation. And it was over time that I learned that she had said she was in the hospital the day before, that she said she had an overdose of steroids. And then the conversation continued where she then said she had chronic steroid use. I asked her what it was for. She was hesitant, but eventually she shared she had the Addison's diagnosis. And in doing our own research, I mean, I don't even know if I can disclose this, but at one point she said she had a stroke in some YouTube video. Like, that was never shared with me. So the information I received was very minimalistic. I focused on her pelvis because of the way she was walking, and I knew she was in the hospital the day before, so I felt like the neuro checks had been completed in the hospital setting, and she was there for her chronic pain and paid out of pocket for me to do something to help relieve some pain. So yes, my note could be more thorough, and my heart went out to her because she was in tons of distress. I didn't rate it 10 out of 10, but there's no denying she was a 10 out of 10 pain.
I actually don't see a pain reading at all. Am I missing it?
Yeah, we don't necessarily always use it. We go by what they describe in their diagram. And in her diagram, she's shaded throughout her entire body. And so I don't always ask for a pain rating. I'm asking how they're feeling, what they're doing, the functional mobility. And I could see that by the way she walked in, that her gait was her number one functional limitation.
So I guess I will just ask you, if looking at this note, your note from her first time there with you, February 27th, are you comfortable with this being a thorough initial evaluation?
A thorough, I would not say. If she would have came into our intensive program and I had a 5-page medical history on her, I would have sat down and interviewed her and asked her lots of questions. I would have met every point she noted and I would have discussed that with her. For this patient walking in off the street seeking pain relief in this introductory setting, I feel like I assessed the biggest problem I saw in that moment, much like when I did 30-minute evaluations in a hospital setting. We honed in on one area. MFR is typically a very holistic approach, and I'm looking at her that way, and I know I have 1 hour with someone who has slow movement, who can barely roll over, who's in chronic pain, and I know that her pelvis is out of balance, and that's where I want to focus. So could it be better from a documentation? 110%, I agree. Did I give her excellent care? Yeah, I gave MK tons of love and compassion and helped her find some relief, and I gave her some patient education at the end. And I told her to see how this resonates with you, if it was helpful. And if it is, we're here to support you for however long you're in Sedona. She told me she was a passer through, but she was seeking lots of alternative healing while she was in Sedona. She was a Kundalini yogi. She spoke to that, and she even spoke to concerns she had of the side effects of Kundalini on her mental health. She is not uneducated on what the benefits and risk are of modalities. She's very educated, and she's a body worker and yogi herself. I believe she's a massage therapist. So I did tread lightly, knowing that she had had issues with the Kundalini yoga world before. I did not overassess. I trusted the medical community that she was in the hospital the day before, and I focused on a very basic need that I saw in her body.
Can you walk me through, you mentioned had she entered the intensive, you would have spent more time with her really going into her medical history.
Correct.
I'm having a hard time with that one, right? Because
yeah, I understand.
How would that be different than your first time seeing her and your hands on her?
Because it's
how is that different?
It may be my only time seeing her. So when I worked in the hospital setting, I did 30-minute evals, and I treated them in that 30 minutes. And it is a quick moment in a blip of time.
Right, but if I can interrupt you for 1 second, you've got the entire medical record at your disposal. You can look at radiation, radiology reports. You've got all of that at your disposal to look at and review prior to your 30-minute evaluation.
Sometimes.
I don't know a hospital where you don't have those medical records.
When I worked in the hospital before Epic, and if they weren't in the Epic system, I didn't have that. I had a prescription with a diagnosis. I didn't have access to all that information.
You had the physician's notes, medical records, past medical history, lab.
If they were in the Epic system, in the hospital where I worked, was the only way I had access to that. If they were not in my system, and plenty of people came to me from out of the system as a manual therapist working in an integrative medicine clinic in a hospital setting, I often did not have access to all that. That would have been a follow-up phone call after an evaluation. I would have had to treat on the fly. In this case, the introductory is set up where a lot of people are visitors to Sedona. So we have this program so they can experience myofascial release. And we do a much simpler evaluation. We hone in on a problem, a concern that that patient has, and we focus there. She felt like she was getting relief and she came back. And based on the way she walked in for her second visit to see Rob Maggio, she was significantly changed. I do believe she was having some effect of those steroids. I don't know what they were, but her presentation was completely different. And when I saw her on the third visit, I talked to her about that. I may not have documented it all. I get that. My hands are busy and keep simple notes, and we have verbal conversations in our office because we're tiny and we're there every day together. And we schedule it so that we're in the room together to discuss people. So we maybe err on the side of too much talk and not enough writing. And that's probably one of the things we're going to be required to do better. We're probably going to have to create more time in our schedule for writing, because that's how we document. And it takes a long time to write. When I worked in the hospital setting and wrote versus typing in Epic, it was more time consuming. The shift was very time consuming. But in the end, writing, I spent hours at the end of the treatment day as a writing PT to write thorough notes for Medicare. We're fee for service. So I ask, like, what's required of me? That's what I really want to learn today. I want to know what I have to document, and can I compartmentalize an introductory patient who's visiting from out of town somewhere? One of the things I've done better is when I know I'm treating an introductory person and they tell me they're in from out of town, I don't know if they're going to schedule a second one while they're in town or not, especially if they were in pain when I evaluated them or if they like the work. So I ask them, when are you flying home? And I write a list of people I need to DC so that I catch it, because we weren't catching those people. They fly through, they come in, they may say they want to come back again, then they schedule a tour to the Grand Canyon and they cancel. Look, it's so fluid with those patients. There's a lot for us to track to do this differently, and we can do it. We just need to know what's required of us. We provide excellent care. Myofascial release is a modality that I love more than any other modality I ever learned. And I am grateful for my PT education. The results I see with MFR are exceptional. And I can be a better documenter. I just need to know what is required of me. And I've taken 2 documentation seminars. They both speak towards Medicare coverage. They don't speak to what's required as a PT. So when you speak about the evaluation, like, tell me the best place to take a CEU, and I'll take it.
Where do you think you would find the requirements for documentation for an Arizona license?
No, I read the Arizona PT. I read that.
I think it's real clear.
It is. And I could have done better in this note with Meredith. MK, I'm so sorry. I still remember her so vividly.
Yeah.
I could write a note today that's better than the one I wrote, because I remember her in detail.
Board members, do you have any other questions for Ms. Kessler?
Thank you for your time and listening.
You're welcome. In terms of,
I have one question.
Please.
To your comment that the you went to the hospital and that you felt like they did a full neuro evaluation on her.
I trusted. That's what I thwarted. Okay. I don't know that they did for sure. I just trusted that if she came from the hospital and she was saying she had a steroid overdose, that she had her experience at that hospital, and I didn't elaborate on asking more questions. She was already not happy with her hospitalization experience.
Okay. I'm going to point out a few things then.
I appreciate it. I'm going to take notes.
Dizziness, nausea, headaches, what aggravates her symptoms. She writes down standing, sitting, walking. That's basically everything.
It is.
Decreases their, what activities decrease her symptoms is sleep and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
In the
diet.
Yep. In the diet. In your notes in terms of your evaluation.
Yeah.
And following through to the first visit.
Yeah.
You note, bilateral symptoms in the legs and the arms.
Are you on the second note, Dr. Head?
Yes.
Okay.
Daily progress notes.
That's Rob.
Okay. All right.
I don't have that in front of me.
That information,
mm-hmm.
that note is not in the evaluation. So my question is, you said that when you saw her walking in for that second visit, mm-hmm. she was exactly different.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that part?
Just she was walking in without that intalgic gait. I didn't see her very long. I saw her walk into the desk to check in, and I saw her walk to her treatment room. And I just said to Rob, like, she looks very different than the person I treated on day one. She's obviously doing better. I'll be interested to see what you find. And then I treated her on the third visit, where she told me she was doing much better, and that her main complaint then was that she felt like her back locked up, and that she still felt some tightness in her rib cage that Rob had expressed in his note.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
Ms. Kessler, since you took a couple of CEUs on documentation, how have you changed how you document?
Like, am I going to be quizzed? So we have added a pain rating to our paper. I will admit, I am not great at it. I've been a therapist for years, and there was a time in the PT world where I was told, don't ask them about their pain. We don't want to focus on their pain. And there was a time that they said, you have to rate their pain. You have to make sure they have the narcotics they need. Like, I've been through it. So I'm not great about asking for a specific number. I'm watching more how they move. And I'm trying to be better about asking that number because I get it's an objective data. So that's one thing. I've gotten a clipboard now to take my note, and I carry the goniometer in every single treatment I do, whether it's an intro or an intensive. I don't always take the range of motion measurements. If they can whiz through range of motion, I'm not going to spend my time with the goni. If I'm wrong in that, tell me. If I see a restriction, I measure it so that I have objective data. I probably am noting a few more areas where I feel myofascial restrictions because that's our focus. I'll note the right psoas is tight. The glutes are tender to palpation. I'll make some notes like that. I think it's really hard to say min, mod, max, and that be objective. And I think that's one of the challenges of us being myofascial release therapists. So if you have suggestions on how to grade a myofascial restriction, exciting. But my experience is I have to stay with it for a long time to feel where it weaves and threads to. If I sink into an MFR restriction, I feel that initial restriction, but it's that 5-minute hold and release over time where I learn about therapeutic voice, what's happened and all of that. And documenting that maybe has its place, but hopefully the next time they're treated, it's another unraveling of the fascial web that's a continuous body glide system head to toe. So I would love the board's advice on that. What else do I do?
We wouldn't necessarily tell you that, but I would say that it's the key is to objectify, right? It needs to be objective. What are you seeing? Defining it, measuring it, and then if it's different the next time, define it and measure it. Whether that's function, whether it's stride length, whether it's, you know, a goniometric measurement, that is what we have to do. We have to objectify. That's the only way, right? And it doesn't matter. Our rules don't state that your documentation has to be a certain way if it's Medicare versus if it's walk in off the street and pay cash. Documentation requirements or documentation requirements for all physical therapy services, regardless of the patient, pay source, free, or what if we sign a name, our name as a physical therapist, we are providing physical therapy and we have some very clear and specific guidelines in our practice act about what that looks like. And that is why we're here today. Not questioning the value or the validity of MFR, but We have documentation in front of us that clearly does not meet any of the standards, even the minimum standards of what our practice act says about providing physical therapy care.
So
I'm going to make a motion that we continue this case. Well, we can stop and then discuss. So let's start. Are any other questions for Ms. Kessler? I don't want to get ahead of myself. Gianni, Mr. Martin, Dr. Castillo. Okay. Okay, so we're going to go into deliberations, Ms. Kessler, and
for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for sharing. Okay, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I go back to the same thought process of I'm just not seeing everything here that needs to be within an initial evaluation. You know, the more that I think about it, this resembles, you know, what we do at my company. We do free assessments. But when we do free assessments for somebody, we don't provide any sort of treatment. So you're not providing any treatment until you do an actual evaluation with that patient.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not seeing how there's enough information on here to be able to provide that treatment. You know, I think about it from the perspective too, if I was a PTA working in that facility, could that treatment have been handed off to me? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
So, I mean, my only concern about that is that the treatment would not be handed off to a practitioner that did not have advanced skill.
Yeah.
You know, I say that about my practice as well. In lymphedema, if you're not a lymphedema therapist, you can't do what I do. And so it wouldn't be appropriate delegation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm less concerned about that perspective of it, because they do have a highly specialized clinic with mm-hmm. highly specialized, trained individuals who provide that care.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I feel like we have some similar issues with the first case in this grouping, and looking at changes in patient documentation, I think is warranted. And to your point, Giovanni, about screening, we do a lot of screenings as well, but on those visits, other than maybe one or two pieces of verbal advice, we do not provide any type of hands-on treatment. And so if their introductory sections are meant to be like a screening tool to see if further treatment is warranted, I appreciate that, but then it does rise to the level of full physical therapy treatment, and you would expect a more thorough assessment of what's happening. So I guess that's where I stand at this point.
Thank you.
So other members of the board, I guess the one area that I'm a little kind of confused and concerned about when it comes to this case is that we've heard now from both of the therapist in this case that the reason they're providing hands-on is that it's some kind of an introductory kind of get a feel for how this type of specialized therapy is going to work. I guess the question I have for the other members of the board is, does that change the math at all? I mean, the impression I've gotten is that no, that it doesn't. But I just you know, in my evaluation, that's one area that has concerned me is I get the desire for them to say, this is what we're doing and we want you to kind of be able to feel it and see if it works for you. And I guess what I'm struggling with over here is, does that rise to the level of full physical therapy? And if it does, is there some kind of truncated assessment that would be warranted, or does it require a full assessment? And kind of what are the other board members' thoughts of that?
That's a good question, Josh. I think the if you read the practice of physical therapy as it's defined in our rules, it talks about alleviating impairments and functional limitations, assessment, reducing pain, manual therapy techniques. So they are providing physical therapy, and each of them have said, I provided a physical therapy treatment to this patient. And so my thought would be, if you wanted to have someone feel what like MFR might feel like, maybe show them with your hands on a part of their body that's not impaired, just so they can feel what maybe the hands feel like, but not to treat the things that they have identified in their very brief note that they think are objective findings. And then actually there's a type of treatment performed, which is exactly what's on the documentation form. And then assessment after treatment, it is absolutely a physical therapy treatment without the meeting the requirement of a full and thorough evaluation, reviewing the entire patient history, looking for any contraindications or concerns, and then writing some goals and a plan of care.
Thank you, Dr. King. That actually clarifies it quite a bit for me.
You're welcome. Any other discussion? Would you be comfortable entertaining a motion to continue this case and request the review of additional patient documentation for evaluations and patient treatment, and then come back before the board and make some decisions at that point? Okay. Okay, and so I'll say again, three charts that include an initial evaluation, not necessarily only of people who have signed up for the intensive. I'd like to see that someone who's walked in wants an intro session. If they have received treatment, they have a thorough evaluation. And three charts. So.
Excuse me. Dr. King, you muted again.
No, I know. I'm yelling at a dog. Sorry.
Oh.
Okay. Do we have a second? Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Is there any further discussion?
Dr. King, the same as with that last motion, I would just ask that we specify to treatment starting today or after today, just so that we can be clear about giving them an opportunity to change anything that they think needs to be changed after our discussion here today.
Thank you. So no patient documentation that occurred prior to our board meeting today.
One point of clarification, Dr. King, are you when you mentioned specifically the introductory visits, are you doing that in such a way that is different than the previous case motion?
I'm not intending to. I think some of our concerns with that.
I wanted to clarify whether you were intending to make that distinction or not, because you did have that discussion that the same would be expected of a introductory as an initial evaluation.
So, yes.
So thank you.
Same. Yes. Thank you.
Dr. King, you're muted.
If there's no further discussion, Judy, do you mind calling the vote, please?
It has been moved and seconded to continue this matter and request additional investigation to include three patient charts that include initial evaluations and subsequent treatment for patients initiating visits on or after today's date of 6/27/2023. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes. Apologies. I've got kids watching a movie next to me, so.
That motion passes.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Kessler. Okay, so the next item up on our agenda is case 2233, Diana Lamont.
Do you guys want to stop the recording and restart it?
Do you need to, Judy?
I think we're going to be good for 2 hours, so I think we'll continue at this point and give them one recorded session.
I would say that after we have the chance to speak with Ms. Lamont, then we'll take a break. Sound good? Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. So we've already heard the summary, the investigative summary, and we've heard opening statements from Ms. Kent. Ms. Kent, your hand's up in the air. Do you have a question?
I have a comment about Diana's case that's different. She is not employed at the clinic. She's contemplating moving back to New York. I don't know what her current plans is. She's not currently treating patients. So that may impact your discussion.
Thank you.
You should ask her more details about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Ms. Kent. All right. So, Ms. Lamont, I'm just trying to find you on the... Oh, okay. So this is Diana Bergen.
Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah.
That's okay. I just want to make sure I was talking to the right person.
Yeah.
Are you okay answering some questions from the board?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
All right. So maybe we'll start with what Ms. Kent mentioned to us, that you're no longer employed with John Barnes Institute. So you want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now, and then we'll talk a little bit about the documentation.
Yeah, I had left to focus on my own health. I was having some severe respiratory issues, and I personally could not handle the caseload. So I left. Right now I'm traveling back to New York every few months to treat old patients that still wanted to see me. I still have my license in New York. And yes, we would like to stay in Sedona, but as I'm sure you know, it's not cheap. I'm not sure, but there's always the possibility that if it doesn't work out, we could go back to New York.
Okay, thank you. Board members, does someone else want to start with asking Ms. Would you like us to call you Ms. Lamont or Ms. Bergen?
Oh, Lamont. Yeah, no, I want to forget about Bergen.
Oh, okay. Thanks for clarifying. Board members, questions for Ms. Lamont?
My first question is, I noticed your note has a different format than the other notes. Is there a reason for that?
So as the introductory sessions have been talked about, normally somebody can come in for those three intro sessions and then sign up for an intensive. MK kept saying that she thought she wanted to do the intensive, but she wanted to do a little bit more. So then I'm not exactly sure of the reasoning why, but after the third intro, we switched to the regular daily log note. So that would be the log note that if she were in an intensive, that's the log note that would be used for all the intensive patients, for the daily note, not an evaluation.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
And you don't know why you switched from the other notes to this particular note?
Yeah, no, that was never really clear to me.
Okay. Your note has a lot more information on it, but it is noted as a daily progress note versus an evaluation.
Yeah. Okay. I'm open to questions, but is it okay if I speak freely? Or?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Please, go ahead and make a statement.
Yeah, so just hearing what everybody else has already talked about and the questions from the board and the concerns from the board, I just wanted to express that I was really nervous coming into this today. I think Therapy on the Rocks is an amazing place where people really get helped by their treatment every single day, and I was happy to be a part of that. And as Kathy mentioned, We did talk a lot about what went on during sessions and relating to the next therapist. But I don't know if you saw, I got my Arizona license on March 1st and I treated MK on March 15th. I was only there for 2 weeks, and much of my concern starting this job, I had moved from New York, much of my concern was everything that you have brought up today. I knew through the jurisprudence what should be in an evaluation, what should be done in the first meeting of a patient. And I admit that that is my fault, that I didn't speak up. I didn't expect to move to a new state and a new job and reinvent the wheel. Therapy on the Rocks had been around for a long time, and it was like, okay, this is what we do. And I am admitting that's my fault. I'm very, very happy to hear that they have since changed the protocol for documentation. I know that they can do better, and if I were still there, I would be right on board with all of that. But I feel like I also want to explain, you know, there have been questions about, like, so what is this intro session? So before I found myofascial release, I was a therapist in a lot of pain. I worked with kids for 10 years, loved what I did, and I wrote literally book reports on every child, you know, like, so I know what true documentation is. It's long, it can be annoying, but it has a lot of information and it's worth it in the end. Uh-huh. So I get that. But after 10 years of working with kids, I started to have so much pain and see different doctors and things, and nothing was making me better. And I started to think about what could I do with my PT degree, because I can't do PT anymore. And then at my desperation, another therapist friend said to me, have you tried myofascial release? And I hadn't even heard about it. Mm. I had no idea what to expect. Mm-hmm. And after the second or third treatment, I was like, oh my God, I could actually have my life back. This is possible. This is helping me. And I had to feel it. I really had to feel it. Somebody could try to explain it up the wazoo. Sorry, my French. You know, they could try, you do this, you do that. Even when I work on someone, I'll do that. I could explain for an hour about what I'm going to do, but it's not until you put your hands on someone that they can actually feel their body shifting. And so that's why, unfortunately, I didn't speak up and say, hey, I think we should have more documentation here. This something about this doesn't seem right, because I had experienced it. And then, like, honestly, after I started getting treatment, I didn't care what my therapist put in the note. Obviously, I care that there's a note. That's what my practice act says that I have to care about. But I just wanted to explain that, yes, I agree, there's a huge discrepancy. I also understand how it happened, and that this is, that nobody is negligent in this practice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions or any questions for Ms. Lamont? Okay, if there are none, then we can move into deliberations. Thank you, Ms. Lamont, for your comments.
You're welcome. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm seeing and hearing is that she's no longer practicing. She's not at the Barnes Institute. She's not practicing here in Arizona. I think that's what you had said, right? So, okay. She worked there for 2 weeks. Any thoughts?
Well, I don't feel like we're in a situation where there's anything that we can review further because she's not practicing. So I don't feel like the same type of look at would be appropriate.
Ms. Lamont, did you take the CEUs for documentation?
I did. And I learned a lot. I could point out exactly where my documentation was lacking.
Thank you. Dr. Bustillo, Dr. Hike, I think for me, I mean, I'd be comfortable with a non-disciplinary board order to take more CEU. I mean, she's not practicing now in Arizona. That doesn't mean she wouldn't. She says still live here, is licensed here. I don't think 3.5 hours is enough for documentation and billing. So I'd be much more comfortable with a board order requiring CEUs that included more on documentation and potentially billing. What are your thoughts?
I would agree.
I'd like to see, as I mentioned previously, too, more on the content of evaluations, re-evaluations, things of that nature.
Okay. You're talking about specifically on a particular body part or just evaluations?
Just in general. Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Hike, what are you have a thought?
I'm in agreement with that.
Okay. Mr. Barton, do you have any other perspective?
I'm in agreement with that. Okay. I think that would make sense.
All right. So then I'm going to make a motion and then we can further discuss if we need to for a non-disciplinary board order to require 6 additional hours of CEUs for documentation. It's hard to find billing separately, but I'm going to put it out there. 3 hours of billing. That could
MedGroup had some billing courses.
Yeah, okay. That can be done online and within the next 6 months to complete.
Considering when I was looking up even just the one that I did, there were so many different courses. I weeded through like 20 before I was like, okay, this one sounds like it's related to what's happening here. Are there any that you recommend or just go to the Arizona PT board and they get ones there?
Generally, when there's a board order for CEUs, you have to submit it to the board for approval. So you'll find the courses and then you'll send it to the staff and they'll look through it and determine if the content is aligns with, you know, with the intent of the board order.
Okay. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have a motion. Did we get a second?
No, second.
Thanks, Dr. Wright.
I guess my only concern is 3 hours of billing. Can you do a combination of documentation and billing in that 3 hours?
Or in the 6?
In the 6.
I'm okay with that.
Especially since it sounds like their billing practices are probably fairly unique. I think that's probably a good idea.
Okay. So amending the motion to 6 hours of CEUs that includes billing and documentation and not separated. 6 months to complete and can be done online.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are we going to allow to include the current CEUs with that?
Mm-mm. It's going to be above and beyond what she's already taken.
Okay.
Thank you. Is that okay with you, Mr. Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, or whoever seconded. Okay.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, just so you know, Ms. Lamont, they don't count towards your renewal CEUs.
Good to know.
Either. So they're above and beyond that.
Okay. I understand. Thank you very much.
So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or clarification needed? Okay. Hearing none, then, Judy, do you mind calling the vote, please?
The motion before you for case 2223, Diana Lamont, is to issue a non-disciplinary order for continuing education, which shall be completed in 6 months. Courses must be pre-approved, may be completed online, and do not count towards renewal requirements. It shall be completed in the area of documentation and billing for a minimum of 6 hours.
Correct.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Thank you. Okay, at this time, I'd like to take maybe a 10-minute break give everybody a chance to stand up, get some water, use the restroom if you need to. Okay. It's 11:08 on my computer.
We are in agreement on that. The recording will stop at 11:08.